Most people visiting or living in New Mexico are not always aware they're walking on gold. Well, some of the time. It's true because the volcanic activity for millions of years around what is now New Mexico, there's gold all over the great state of New Mexico. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, finding it. Stay tuned on how to find gold. Michael Swickert here. Welcome to Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Our award-winning Hatch green and red chili, boy, is it good, is from locally owned farms in Hatch, New Mexico, the chili capital of the world. Let's talk about get rich in New Mexico with gold efforts. I'm mostly talking about the second half of the 1800s to the 21st century in New Mexico. People back east, some of them came out here to New Mexico to get rich on gold, and some did so. Mostly they were tied for the hunt for gold. That's where you spent your time. Writers in the Old West put a lot of attention to the precious metal with the gold rush to California, and then there was a rush to Nevada, Colorado, Black Hills, and the Yukon. That's where there were some very large deposits of gold to be found. Hundreds, even thousands of people came to each of these areas hoping to strike it rich. You may have seen photographs of these people from the east coming west. Some came through our area with the idea of getting rich. They had signs on their Conestoga wagons that said, California or bust. Now, out there somewhere in Kansas, you may have found many of those wagons were on the trail with an extra sign next to the California bust, and the other sign said, busted by God. Here in New Mexico, there were a couple of rushes when they found certain amounts of the precious metals. They did so around White Oaks about 1879. White Oaks is about 80 miles north of Alamogordo. But most of the gold and silver, along with copper and other metals, were somewhat a workman's effort to get. Gold, silver, copper, tin, lead, other metals were found in the volcanic regions. That's where the volcanoes that erupted over the millennium, they deposited the metals somewhere near the surface. The metals were transported to the surface, I am told, because when the magma cooled, the gold was lifted up by the water going up. If you say so. There is a science of geology and quartz associated with gold and other precious metals that talk about this. New Mexico was, so to speak, a hotbed of volcanic activity for thousands or millions of years, which is why now and in the immediate past, mining of gold and other precious metals was profitable, still is. But we're always walking over gold down there somewhere. In New Mexico, other than a few places where there were big rushes and towns sprung up overnight, what was interesting was the marginally profitable fields where there were some concentrations of gold or silver that gave way to areas where mining technology, that technology itself, could extract the value from the land. The primitive miners, you know, with a pickaxe and a mule standing around, well, they could load some rocks in a sack and bring them to town, but that gave way to placer mines where tons and tons of rock were milled that got enough of the precious metals to make it worthwhile doing so. Two types of gold, and it's golden ore. Load gold is where you see something shiny and you put it in your hand and you say, gold, I found gold. And placer gold is where the gold is intertwined in rock, and that rock must be crushed to release the gold, tons of rock at a time. And most of the load gold became depleted some years ago. Then it was only the profitable when they would mine gold with large operations that did stamp mills to crush them or float them. And capital investment, that's what it took, was capital investment to get gold after a while. And it took the gold mining out of the hands of individuals. It was only when corporations could do it. Michael Swickard here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico. Sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces, New Mexico, you can hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts about New Mexico and culture and history. I'm talking today about all of the gold that is still in the ground, because I understand there's probably still a lot. The problem is finding it in sufficient quantity to make it profitable to have a mining operation. Of course, all that glitters in New Mexico is not always gold. It's often the glitters is the prospect of getting gold and getting rich. In the last 50 years or so, in the White Oaks area, that's an area above Carrizozo, about 80 miles from Alamogordo, going directly north, well, there's been one more type of gold story. In 1978, a long time ago, I was the owner and editor of the Lincoln County News in Carrizozo, New Mexico. That is the county seat of Lincoln County. 13 miles south of White Oaks, that's where I was. There was a renewed rush to mine gold, or so it seemed. All these people would come into the coffee shops wearing hard hats. To me, that meant it was some kind of scam. They'd come into the local coffee shop, had big diamond rings, cubic zirconium, I was pretty sure, on their pinky fingers. And get this, back when coffee was about 30 cents a cup, they'd leave $5 tips for the waitresses, who just would about do a backflip for all these tips that they got. Well, it got our attention. Gold, they proclaimed, was just around the corner. We're all going to get rich. However, the short of the story was that the promoters were selling shares in gold operation, gold mining operation ventures to the very smart, oh, so intelligent gamblers in Las Vegas, Nevada. They were seeming to promote gold but not produce gold. One day, a promoter was in the local drinking establishment late at night and was having a hard time finding someone to tell stories, so I sat down. I like good stories. I was playing pool and relaxing, and I asked this guy, "How's it going?" In the course of the conversation, he didn't know who I was. He didn't know that I was the editor and publisher of the local weekly newspaper. Well, now, he let the cat out of the bag. He was telling me all about this, and I asked him for more, and then he had this thing to say, this adage. He said, "The adage for us is don't dig in a gold mine, because then it's obvious how much gold you have. When you are promoting the amount of gold, you talk about that it's limitless gold." And then he said, "So don't mess up a gold mine by digging in it." I suspected as much, and I don't know if he ever understood that I now had his numbers. When some of them came to my office, every time they wanted a Lincoln County News story about gold mining, I told them they were front page news with the first bag or bucket of gold they shipped. And I would put it on the front page, but they had to ship some gold. They went away depressed. They wanted news stories because they would dig some dirt and kind of throw some dust up in the air and then go back to Las Vegas, Nevada, and sell mining venture shares to people who were inclined to gamble. And then the mining venture would go bust, and they'd reform the mining venture to another mining venture and sell shares. And, you know, friends, they're probably still doing it today. And there is gold in the area, but it's mixed with clay. How's that a problem, Michael? Well, clay has the same specific density as gold, so you can't float it away with water treatment. You can't crush it away. It can't be stamped with a stamp mill and then the dust blown away. No, the only way to actually get it is to leach it with cyanuric acid, and you can leach the gold out. But the government really doesn't want people using cyanide to mine gold because of the danger. And again, they found they could make much more money selling shares, even, and then going bankrupt and then selling some more. There are operations where you can legitimately pan for gold. Now, that's the real thing. It's a one person at a time kind of venture. It's very peaceful. Have I done it? No, but I've thought about it. Lode gold is in many of the streams in New Mexico. that have not been mined because there isn't enough of it to make it worth having machinery. So you can sit there with a copper pan and you can pan for gold in a cold stream as long as you can stand it. And a fun time is had by all who do it, but as they tell you, if you decide to pan for gold, don't quit your daytime job. That's what they always say. Michael Swicker here with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, sponsored by the Fresh Chili Company. Hit subscribe to automatically get these podcasts. Now, speaking of gold, this is actually going to be about gold. When the Civil War started in 1861, there was a push into New Mexico by Confederate soldiers from Texas. There were several really big battles, and then east of Santa Fe, there was a point where the Confederates were pushed out of New Mexico after the Battle of Glorieta Pass. Now, why is that important? Well, because concurrently, there was a large group of Union soldiers coming from California from the west, and they were called the California Column, or Carleton's Column. He brought about 2,300 volunteers to New Mexico to push the Confederates out, but the Confederates had already left by the time he and his volunteers got here. But something happened with them coming out that changed New Mexico. It was a difficult march from California to New Mexico for a reason rarely told. Now, reason with me on this one thing. What were the men in California mainly concerned with? Oh, yeah. Gold. They were gold miners, many of them. And they were coming near today's Phoenix and Tucson, trudging along, and then they would constantly step out when they had a stream and pan the streams, and they found there was gold in those streams because they're gold miners. It got worse when they got into New Mexico because New Mexico had lots and lots of gold ore right there on the surface. So the California Column helped settle the lawlessness in New Mexico when they got here, and then many of those soldiers remained in New Mexico to mine for gold. That's why a lot of our gold mining was tied back to then. Many of the names in the Mesilla Valley are tied to those men. Example is Colonel Albert Fountain, who was born in Staten Island, New York, 1838. He went to California as a young man. He studied law, became a reporter. He joined the 1st California Infantry Regiment, was elected first sergeant. Later, he became an officer. He came to New Mexico as part of the California Column, like many of the others, and they left quite a mark in the area. Albert Fountain married a local woman. They had kids and the kids and the kids, and they're still in the Mesilla area. Of note, he was a defense attorney for Billy the Kid when Billy was convicted wrongly, I think, and there was no appeal. Albert Fountain was at the center of the biggest mystery in New Mexico history, and I'll tell that story one of these days. Let's talk about the Fresh Chili Company in Las Cruces to sponsor these History and Culture podcasts. Something great is happening. The chili crop is planted, and what's the best way to get your chili lined up like I have done? You can pre-order our 2024 Veritol Special Reserve Big Jim or Sandia Select Hatch Chopped Green Chili, or Big Jim or Sandia Select Hatch Enchilada Sauce. You know what I like? I like Big Jim Red and Green, that medium. Man, I like that. As quickly as this year's crop is picked and processed, these jars with the wonderful flavors in them will be sent to you. The 2024 onion crop is doing good right now, and soon you'll be able to get that sweet onions that do so well from the Hatch Valley. Now, if you want that great onion taste today, I do, we have Hatch Sweet Onion Dressing. Now, everybody knows Hatch Valley is renowned for chili, but did you know it grows some of the sweetest onions in the world? It's true. Onions from the Hatch Valley and surrounding area are as sweet as any of the well-known varieties, sweeter than most. This dressing combines onions, the sweet onions, with avocado oil and our very own Hatch Chili Dijon mustard. Our Hatch sweet onion dressing, it's so good you can marinate, baste, or like I do, I douse it on my salads. This is Michael Swickard with Enchanting Stories of New Mexico, brought to you by the Fresh Chili Company. Thank you for your time today. We'll always have lots of news and stories from the Fresh Chili Company. And we'll be doing stories about New Mexico on these podcasts. If you have something or someone you want me to talk about, write to me, michael@freshchilico.com. michael@freshchilico.com. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, yes, and eat plenty of that Hatch Valley chili. Good Hatch Valley chili. Like I always say, some chili is good, more is better, as long as it's Hatch Valley chili. Bye for now.